Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun. Go.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to Making Data Simple. This is where we talk about data, AI, governance, a little bit of everything in between. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything. Hit me on almartintalksdata@gmail.com if you have any suggestions. We certainly look out for those. Today, we have Artie Sherian on, which is a program director of marketing. We've been doing marketing. We kind of get on a theme, and we do a few themes every so often. I guess the theme now is now marketing. And she holds a responsibility for Cloudback for Data and Watson Data Science, which is some data science tools that essentially allow you to build, run, deploy machine learning models. Welcome, Artie. How are you?
I'm doing great, Al. Thank you for having me on.
You sound perfect. We had some audio issues to start, so you sound great right now. Look, I went through your profile, and you know, you're skilled in product marketing, go-to-market strategy, team management, digital marketing, lead generation. You got an MBA. You've also got a human resources degree. Is that true?
That is true. I did a dual specialization in my MBA, so I do have human resources as well.
So how do you go from human resources to MBA to a highly technical field?
I've always been passionate about marketing, so that's been my core. So soon after I finished my MBA, I've been, you know, all through my experience has been with marketing, and primarily in the information technology area.
How long have you been with IBM?
IBM, I've been here for over 10 years, and it's been an exciting journey so far.
Where were you prior?
I was with Quantum Corporation, which is more into the storage and tape drive. That was the company before. And prior to that, I was in different IT services and software solution companies.
Sweet. You upgraded, and then you landed at the best.
Absolutely.
Right? Has it always been business to business or business to consumer? What?
It's always been B2B, and that's the space that I love. And it's been really, you know, exciting working, like I said, both in product marketing as well as on the services side. So it's been pretty exciting so far.
How would you describe your responsibilities today? I mean, I know I gave the lead in and it's not always the best. How would you describe your responsibilities?
Sure. Happy to take you through that. So I've been with, my most recent role is really marketing Cloudback for Data. I've been in this role for about 3 months. And I also have a dual role of managing marketing for data science, which I've been in that role for about a year. So my role would be really to lead marketing for these two offerings, more from whether it is on digital or whether it is, you know, offline activities with events, but really understanding, you know, what's the client mindset, understanding the market, understanding the competition, and really coming up with messages that resonate with the market that convey our capabilities, and then, obviously making sure that we drive demand gen tactics that drive revenue for our business.
So what is the client mindset right now?
Okay, that's an interesting question. So yes, so if I start with Cloudback for Data, right? So obviously,
but Cloudback for Data, for those listening, is a microservices architecture that essentially containerizes the suite of our end-to-end products. We call it Journey to AI, Journey to Cloud, whatever you want to call it. So everything from data management to governance to AI visualization, et cetera. But so I just want to make sure everybody knew that. Go ahead. Client mindset.
Great. Thank you, Al, for that. So yes, so for Cloudback for Data, for example, we go, the primary buyer we're going after is the LOB audience, which is really the CDO and the CIO. So when we talk about client mindset, now today the clients are really looking for modernizing, right? Like it's all about modernizing, whether it's modernizing the apps, the data, the infrastructure. So that's core to understanding like what exactly is the client looking for. So when we talk about Cloudback for Data, for us, the main value prop, I would say, going after these buyers would be to offering an integrated data and AI platform, which helps them basically to simplify, unify how they can collect data, organize data, analyze data, as well as to infuse AI across the business.
See, I listened to you said three things to me. You said previously, you said client mindset, competition, and demand gen. So I got the client mindset. It's about simplification, modernization, you know, that data and AI platform. How do we differ, going to the second one, how do we differ from the competition?
Yeah, I think, see, when we build out our core message, right? So our, we're obviously, our partnership with Red Hat OpenShift is, again, core from open, where we are open by design, right? So that's one of our core differentiators. And we're obviously, you know, we talk about multi-cloud. So we're, you know, available on IBM Cloud, but we're also available on, you know, Microsoft Azure as well as AWS. So that's core too. And plus our offerings are hybrid cloud. So we have, you know, we are in the space of both on-premises cloud, or even if a client wants to do a, you know, hybrid approach, we offer that as well.
And where do you think the competition is lacking by comparison?
I mean, I think so. The cloud war continues to be obviously, you know, an area where, you know, Microsoft and AWS have been there in that space for a long time. And that's an area where there's obviously potential even for us to, you know, beat competition, to come up with more innovative technologies. But I think we're very unique in the space that we offer one platform where we can, you know, talk about, you know, the things that we were talking about earlier, right? Where we can collect, organize, analyze, infuse all in one platform, right? So I think that's really core, and that's a true differentiator for us. And obviously with the whole open source, we're even, you know, going beyond the initial buyers that we were talking about, the LOB, but we're really opening up to a huge ecosystem, right? So we're obviously, again, targeting the developers, the data scientists, and opening up the space to kind of go after our influencers as well.
Look, not to answer my own question, but I think the main issue for me is, you know, to the open source, et cetera. First of all, well, let me back up. First of all, I would say that, you know, you go with the person who has the best products to solve a particular use case, which I think is us. But then secondly is, unlike any of the other competitors, particularly given our investment in Red Hat and collaboration and integration, we're cloud agnostic. Or in other words, we're really targeting truly hybrid cloud. Others might talk about it, but it's usually them trying to put a client on their own cloud. And look, we'd like clients to be on our cloud just as well. But look, if you want to go to AWS, Azure, private cloud, whatever the case may be, we are set up to allow you to make that decision. So we're set up to allow you to make that decision. And the other thing with our microservices architecture is, you don't have to be on a completely blue stack. You can bring in other open source, or you can bring in other like databases to complement, you know, our governance or whatever the case may be. So it's both open, and then it's hybrid cloud. I mean, so would you agree, or anything to add to that?
Absolutely, I think you nailed it there.
Oh, good. My own podcast. I answered my first question. That's great. But all right, so what about the demand gen? How are you, you know, tell us more about it. How do you go about driving demand gen, and how are we able to close opportunities for those listening?
Perfect. Okay, so this is obviously where, you know, I'm going to start to talk about paid, owned, and earned media, because especially in the digital space. So when we talk about paid media, right, so for us, what's worked really well is paid search and content syndication, and to some extent, paid social. When we talk about owned, which is really, you know, what are the channels that we own, right, from IBM? So this could be web, or it could be blogs, social media channels that we own on both Twitter, LinkedIn, and so on. Again, we've done really well from an organic standpoint, because we obviously look at, you know, we use tools such as BrightEdge to look at, you know, how's our search engine optimization, can we optimize. We constantly look at, again, web trends in terms of using heat maps to see what content is being downloaded, or how do customers react as they move through the buyer's journey. We've, again, done really well in webinars. And I think one of our differentiators there is, it's not always IBM speakers, but we team up, for example, with analysts. We've done quite a few webinars with Forrester, which has done really well. And when we go into the earn channels, this is obviously things like, you know, where we've got shares or mentions, you know. So we team up with analysts, also obviously with Cloud Pak for Data, for example, when we had a huge Sigmo launch in October. when we released our 2.5 version, we've had a lot of press coverage. So that's kind of helped us a lot in terms of earned media. And obviously, we're looking to build our client stories and, you know, ensuring there's more of that, because that kind of substantiates what we're seeing. And outside of digital, I would say the way we've worked really well is through events. And again, when we say events, we do have IBM proprietary events such as Think, as well as data and AI forums across the globe. But apart from that, we select the events from a third-party standpoint, which is very focused on our audience. So for Cloudpack for Data, like I was saying, we have CIOs and CDOs, which are our primary audience. And we look for events such as AI Summit or CIO-CDO Summit, which is very focused on this level of audience, and hence the results turn out better than we'd like.
So I've got to ask you the toughest question.
Sure.
Yeah. This is, at least as far as I see, the toughest question. So Artie and I work together quite a bit. By the way, for the listeners, she handles me extremely well. She puts me in my place all the time. The question I always had, I've had several people from marketing on, and I still, you know, it's obviously just me. I have a hard time getting the answer to this question. And maybe it's never going to be in the objective terms that I would like. And that is, how do you define success and really attribute marketing to, you know, whatever you're doing in marketing, whether it's a TV ad or whether it's digital, whether it's email, whether it's an event? How do you tie that directly to, you know, a lead and also ultimately a sell? Because a lot of times I see, while you're thinking of that answer, it's difficult for me because, by example, somebody will say, oh, we had an event. And then after that event, if a customer that happened to register at that event, by example, purchases a product, you'd say, oh, it was the marketing. But you don't always know that it was the marketing. That customer could have went to, you know, had seen an email. They could have just went on their own power. Could have been somebody different, a different user in that client that ultimately made a purchase. I don't, it sounds like a great case for AI, by the way, but I don't see that chain of events or that closed loop process to really provide at least confidence to me always that, hey, the marketing did it. It was the marketing. Now, don't get me wrong. Fully respect everything that you guys are doing and everything that you are doing. The plans that we have are great. But how, and, you know, for those listening, I know there's a lot of people that struggle like me. How can they be rest assured that they've got good lineage of a marketing event or whatever, a marketing action, and results, and you're able to confidently say, hey, it was that marketing, and we're going to do more of those because that leads to results?
Okay, great question. And yes, it's you know, it's not always an easy question to answer, but I will take it. So the way we are from marketing, right, we look at two types of pipeline. One is we look at build. How are we building pipeline? And that's what we talk about, marketing create pipeline. And then we talk about progression tactics, which is really marketing assist. Now, we always look at data in every channel. So whether it's your digital, whether it's paid, owned, earned, right? Any form of digital, or whether it's events. Now, we create, I mean, this is probably getting into the weeds, but we create something what we call as campaign code or a project code, which we tag to each of these tactics. So even if it's on the web, even if it's an event, we tag it. So that way we're able to go back to the source to see if it was really created by marketing or not. So, and we look at data for everything, right? We look at data for the web, even for all our assets, right? So whether it's gated assets. So when, let's say, a client goes to the web and downloads one of our analyst white papers, we track it all the way from, you know, how many responses did we get? We call it responses when they download something. All the way through, did that asset generate VLRC, which is really a validated lead revenue, which is what we track as build or marketing create. And then we obviously look all the way to win revenue, because the way we typically work for any digital tactic, all the responses that we create are then, you know, sent to our digital reps who qualify it before we pass it on to other routes to market, whether it's business partners or whether it's field sellers. So all the way we track it, and that's what we call the build tactics, because that's what's created, you know, we're going after white space and we create brand new leads that we are then sharing with sellers, right? Any form of sellers. Now, when you talk about marketing assist, this could be open opportunities, right? So this is something which, let's say, a sales rep has already had an opportunity and we are helping them through, let's say, progression tactics, which could be a workshop, could be, you know, again, very focused events that we have for open opportunities. But those are what we call progression tactics, and that's more marketing assist. And that's not something which marketing takes full credit, because it's already an open opportunity. So for every single tactic and every single response, we're able to track whether it's really a marketing create, or a, you know, which is what we call marketing sourced pipeline, or whether it's marketing assist. And obviously, this could be, again, we're supporting business partners, we're supporting you know, field sellers, digital sellers. It could be any of the routes, but we track it from both ways. And that's how we look at, have we met our target goals that we've set in the beginning of the year, or are we lagging behind? And again, which source is really driving that, right? Which channel is driving that? So that helps us to also determine our goals as we go into next year, which routes to market is really helping us drive that business.
It seems to me, though, that there is some, it's kind of like support. When you're creating a bunch of material to help prevent issues, like say you're putting content, self-help, whatever the case may be, it's hard to measure who's not calling you, because they never called. It's not like all you can measure is maybe hits the web page, document level feedback, etc. I imagine that some of what you face is you don't have a full closed loop. You've got to make the leap based on just overall results, how much pipeline you generate, and then kind of bridge the gap as best you can.
Yeah, and then obviously we, you know, the way we check, you know, or, you know, look, validate the messaging, whether, because obviously one is the results, right? We're able to see which one is really generating true results, you know, from asset types, and also from the different channels, right? Is it paid search? Is it webinars? What's really truly generating? Where should we invest more money? But the way we validate our messaging is, one, we work with analysts closely to, you know, see if this messaging is resonating in the market. Is it in sync or in line with the trends that are, you know, in market? The second is obviously we're closely in touch with sellers, whether it's, you know, again, any of the routes to market, right? Whether it's business partners or field sales or digital reps, to see, again, is the messaging resonating in the market? What do the clients have to say? Do we need to, you know, tweak it? That's how we kind of, you know, where it's not that it's set in stone. We're obviously iterating as we go. But that's the way we kind of update and you know, test and see if it's really working in the market. And then obviously the results will show.
I got to believe you, part of the process is to ask the client or the business directly what contributed to their purchase. Do you do like any NPS feedback?
Yes, absolutely. We do, you know, work closely with, I would say, offering management, you know, in terms of looking at NPS scores, looking at G2 crowd, looking at, again, client reference stories, basically, again, looking at direct feedback to see what is it that we, you know, is working well and where do we really need to improve.
So speaking of what's working well, what route to market currently works the best?
It varies. So it depends on, so let me talk about like Cloud Pak for Data. I would say the sales is really, field sales is really working well. If I look at data science, again, it depends on the product. But if I take, let's say, for example, Watson Studio, right? So if I talk about Watson Studio, I think it's a mix. We've had some good success with business partners. We've had some success with really good success with digital reps, but there could be more work to do on the field reps.
Why is that, do you think?
So again, I think it's a mix of, I mean, I would say it's also skills and talent, right? Because obviously these products are a lot more technical. So I think it's a mix of, is this, again, one is obviously, is the message resonating? Are we really hitting the right audience? Because we, you know, from data science standpoint, for example, as buyer, we go after the data science leader, analytics leader, right? But our influencers play a huge part. That's your data scientists and the rest of them. So it's a mix of, again, are we taking the right messaging? That's obviously important for marketing. But again, from seller standpoint, Do they have the right skills? Are they able to convey that messaging, use cases to the right industries? Do we need to tweak the way we are going to market? You know, do we need to be more focused from an industry standpoint, you know, where we're targeting obviously financial services and we have more financial services-based assets? Or, you know, are there different things that we need to do? Because we truly believe the technology is right. I mean, we launched Auto AI, which we think is very exciting. But there's something which is obviously not working as well. And that's what we have to team up with the different groups to figure out what is it that we need to change going into next year.
Very good. Sounds terrific. Hey, look, is there anything else from a marketing standpoint that we didn't cover that you'd like the users to know?
No, I think this was great. I mean, I think the easiest way if anyone wants to obviously learn more is to start on the web. We've got tons of information there, a whole lot of assets there. And obviously not just IBM talking, but we do have, you know, analysts to support the messaging that we're talking about. We've been a market leader in several of, you know, like I would say, for example, in Forrester, in several of these analyst reports. So there's a lot of assets available on the web, including client stories, which is core, right? Because it's important that our clients substantiate and they feel that what we're talking about from a business standpoint is really resonating with them and improving their business. So I would say if, you know, anyone wants to know more about our products, whether it's Cloud Pak for Data or Data Science, please go to the web. That's the best way to start.
And where at in the web?
So for Cloud Pak for Data, I would say it's ibm.com/products/CloudPakForData. And to know more about the system side, which is more of the hardware components, it would be CloudPakForData/system.
And that you said that's the hardware components?
Yeah, so Cloud Pak for Data system, which is really the pre-integrated, which is your software and system, which is packaged together.
So for those listening, Cloud Pak for Data, you can get it software, put it on your own hardware. If you want to put it on a pre-integrated hardware, then that's the system that Artie references. Very good. Hey, I got a couple personal questions for you. These are the good ones. So what does your future hold? More marketing?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That is what I'm truly passionate about. So yes, more marketing for sure.
What are you best at? What's your sweet spot?
I think I'm best, one, I would say when I'm with people. I mean, I really love interacting with people. And, you know, my job has got me to, you know, I moved from India to US, which I love meeting new people, understanding about different cultures. So that keeps me going.
So, but that stops when you meet me, right? You
don't like Absolutely not. It's been such a pleasure working with you.
Liar. What are you not very good at?
Okay, you're putting me on the spot. But
of course, that's what we do.
I would say maybe personally fear of heights. So, but I still, you know, even if it's there's fear of height, I haven't tried bungee jumping, but I have gone on these crazy rides. So although I do have fear of heights, I think I try to overcome it by doing some of this crazy adventure sports.
Well, that's why you have fear of heights, because you're putting yourself in a position to have fear of heights.
But you got to overcome it somehow. So
take
the plunge. Yeah.
What's your go-to order if you go to a restaurant? I mean, what's your favorite food? What's your go-to order?
It's got to be Indian or Chinese. Those are my two favorite. And if it's a combination of both, even better. Indo-Chinese.
Is that common? I mean, in India, I don't remember ever seeing Chinese restaurants.
Oh, you do? And it's a very different flavor because it brings in the, you know, Indian mix to it, but I love it.
I've been to India several times and I've went to like a Pizza Hut in India. And because I think, I don't know why they took me there. It's probably because they thought I liked Pizza Hut. But anyway, not my favorite. But we went in there and it tasted like Indian food. I mean, everything kind of tastes like you got a little bit of curry on everything.
That's true. I mean, that's true. But when you're here in the Bay Area, I could take you to an Indo-Chinese place. And
all right, we're gonna
you can
that.
Tell me what you think about it.
All right. What do you do for fun?
For fun, I mean, I love the outdoors. So I'm not much of an indoor person, but I love the outdoors. So whether it is, I haven't done it in a while, but I love river rafting. So I would love to go for one again. And hiking, just going to the beach, up the mountains, all of that. I mean, basically nature, in tune with nature too.
Do you have a role model that you that you could share with us?
I would say, Steve Jobs was one person who I thought was really extremely creative, very innovative. And I don't know if he's truly fits into the role model per se, but that's somebody I thought was iconic.
Nice. All right. So we're going to play a quick game and then we'll call it quits. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
This is called Would You Rather. It's like this or that. In other words, you got to pick one side or the other.
Okay.
And you can't stay on the fence. You got to pick a side. All right. So Cloud Pak for data, which again, our microservices platform, or AI, just AI in general.
Cloud Pak for data.
All right. Email marketing or digital marketing?
Digital marketing.
The BART or a vehicle commute?
Vehicle commute. Okay. I'm not driving, so yes.
All right, but see, I'm getting to something here because I know that you used to be in Texas. Now you're in California, so you've got to be doing the BART. I say most times versus vehicle. Do you not?
I mean, I go to two different offices. So I go to San Francisco and San Jose. So clearly, when I go to San Francisco, I take the train. But when I go to San Jose, I drive, which is what I enjoy more.
All right. But you were in Texas. And let me get the California or Texas?
California.
Oh, so you'd rather take the BART. Well, I guess you get a little bit of commute in California just the same. All right. You pick, choose California. California or India?
Oh, that's a tough one. Right now it's California, but my heart's still with India. So I would say that's a tough one. But I will still say, because family and friends are still in India, so that's probably the reason. But otherwise, it would be California.
So you said India. You're just doing that for your list. You're afraid your folks are going to listen to you. And you want to
Like I
sure.
said, my heart's still with India. So, you know, so I would still All right. say there. Yeah.
MBA or human resources?
MBA.
All right. You just ticked off all the HR folks. No, that's all right. AI, artificial intelligence, or data management? Because I know you used to be on the data management side. Now you're on the AI side.
AI.
All right. Very good. Hey, thank you for being here. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us on marketing. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Al. It was a pleasure being with you on this, and you're always a fun host. So it was great to be here.
You can slap me around afterwards, as she'll do. No, all good. Thank you again. And for our listeners, again, we greatly appreciate you listening. AlMartinTalksData@gmail.com. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, please rate us. Thank you. And I'll see you on the podcast until next time. See y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Making Data Simple podcast, where we make data fun. Be sure to visit IBMBigDataHub.com/podcast to access the show notes and uncover even more great episodes. Remember, the views expressed here are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily represent the views of IBM. Until next time,
let's go
over and out.